We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
And running TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. How we feeling? It's a stormy Wednesday afternoon in Toronto.
It's
there's a lot of snow, and we this has been long overdue, man. The weather has been mild, which is a Canadian phrase, I think, in the winter, considering, you know, if it's
Dude,
1 or 2 degrees.
I didn't even buy a shovel yet.
Well, yeah, you need one now.
No,
you're not kidding.
But like, this is what bothers me. Is it really long overdue, or is it just what we have grown to expect? Like, I want winter to be a little cold, no bugs, all of that. But I don't need a blizzard outside and go, you know what, we were due. I'm good with it. I'm not good with it. I don't want to look out the window and see that nonsense.
You know what I need, Noodles? I need a gentleman's agreement with my neighbor, Rob. Because we have a split driveway. No curb, no nothing. It's just, what's yours, what's mine? What do I want to shovel? What do I not
shovel? I got it for you, Ode. What is his name?
No. But before
Ron?
You have your, Rob.
You go
before
to Rob.
You have your say, my move is, who's ever going to do it, do the whole thing.
Agreed. I was going to say...
I got no shovel.
Yeah, you're not doing it whatsoever. I was going to say, you go and drop a nice bottle of whiskey or, you know, whatever he drinks, a big bottle of Tito's or something. You do that move early on in the winter and say, you want to take care of this? This is what the pay is.
No,
yeah,
dude,
you're saying proactively.
One bottle doesn't get that done.
Well, I know, several bottles. Whatever you need to do, a big $200 bottle of wine, something crazy, you know. Treat Rob the right way if he's
No, it's not Rob. I want a kid. I want a kid that's just coming around with a shovel and I'll give you $25 a hit.
Yeah,
isn't that worth it?
That should be, absolutely. There is an industry out there for young kids to get out there on a day like today and say, throw me some cash, I'll take care of it. Generally, it comes down to bartering then, you know, what's someone willing to pay? What are they willing to do it for? You know, the premeditated attack with the neighbor, that can backfire if he's not interested
attack?
In that. Well, Noodles is saying in October, you go over and give the guy a bottle of booze and
Dude,
say, now you have
guy,
to shovel for 6 months.
This guy's an upstanding
That's
citizen.
That's not going to work.
Like, the guy's going to throw the bottle back in my yard and say, you're a goon.
I'm
exactly.
not saying you go over and you demand to shovel. You just ask for a gentleman's agreement. You have a conversation and say, how do you want to deal with this? And if he goes, I got a guy or I'm going to sort it out, you go, whatever it takes, here's some money, I'm talking about that gentleman's agreement, but you get on his good side. You butter him up with whatever he likes. It might be toffee that the guy likes or chocolates or booze or anything.
It's probably not chocolates.
I don't think you should get into the assumption where if one guy does it, do the whole thing, because it gets into it. Somebody goes out of town, and then the snow happens again. Mm. Somebody always ends up pissed off in that arrangement.
Yes. Like, what you have to recognize is if Rob does it today and it snows again tomorrow, you better get out there.
That's it.
You got to get out there. But you don't have a shovel, dude.
I know. My
Canada,
end of the
Canadian.
Bargain... My end of the bargain. Well, I just moved in June, and since it's like, where are we in Florida?
I guess
there's been
right.
nothing. It's been gorgeous, not even a hint of snow, and now it's dumping out there.
Yeah, but you're one of those guys that like you'll drive around with a foot of snow on top of the vehicle, and you'll let it blow off instead of like.
I'll tell you what, Noodles. I'll tell you what. I never disrespect a person. If you get in your truck and go back and forth and just pat it down, not a bad thing to do.
Well,
why not?
It's icy at that point. And then if it keeps getting dumped on, then it's going to be there for a long time. yes, on your own property, you can do whatever you want. On the sidewalk, though, you have to consider others. Also, we're living in a society here. I'm not kidding you. Today, we had four separate packages arrive at the door, none of which had my name on it, for the record.
Really?
Four different trucks at different time. The first one was at 9:10, then it was 11:15. And so it's snowing, and I'm thinking, these people are walking up to the door, and you got to make sure that they're not slipping and sliding. That can really be an issue. You got to consider the fact that we live in a world now where there are constantly people coming to your door. Like when we were kids, I'd go months without someone knocking on my door. Like, I don't remember people knocking on my door as a kid.
Years at my house. Years.
Years. No one would knock on the door. Now the doorbell's ringing 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's constant. So you have to take that into consideration. But it is why when you see videos of, you know, you see the end result of years of buildup where Rob's been shoveling and Jeffrey has not been. And what you see is the end result, the video go viral, where it says, two neighbors come to blow, and no one knows why.
These are the seeds
being planted.
Me and Carl and Rob were tight. We have no issues. But I told you guys, I watch a show called Fear Thy Neighbor, all right? Mm-hmm. It's on Investigative Discovery. It's a murder show. And that's how it all starts out. The guy comes over and he's like, hey, how are you? I'm Carl. I'm Jeff. And it's like all good. And then the driveway happens. I'll shovel it one time. And then it's like he didn't shovel it. And then the hatred builds up. And one guy ends up going in an ambulance. It's insane.
It really is crazy.
It is insane how these relationships with neighbors go south.
But one guy
goes away in an ambulance.
Yep.
But do you guys?
And he ain't coming back.
No. But do you want, like, you should have a close enough relationship or a cordial enough relationship with your neighbor to have that conversation is how do you want to deal with this? Like, because if I get it. Sometimes there's a piece of grass that is 2.5 feet wide and the neighbor's lawn person will just do their side.
Leave 18
inches on my side or whatever, right? Instead of just taking care of it. And to me, that's a conversation going, how do you want to deal with this common space here? And that you guys got a common space. So figure it out going, hey, heavy snowfall. Do you want me to get the first one? You get the second one? Or do we want to collectively?
It's yeah,
you
got
it.
You do yours. I do mine. And we just, that's how we'll operate.
It's tough to figure out, man. Like you got to be, you're right, Noodles. You got to be honest. But even then, I had a similar scenario when I first moved in out here where I share a side of the house with my neighbor. Great guy, awesome people. We're close. We love them. They're great neighbors. And when I moved in, you know, it was the introduction, and it was like, I'll take care of this, right? Because I have a bigger lawn, and my lawn is more out kind of the opposite way. He's like, I'll take care of this. Don't you worry. But I have an irrigation system, so the part of my lawn was growing more than his. So I thought he was intentionally not mowing my, I was so rattled. I'm like, I thought we had an agreement. Why is like my patch, you know, 12 inches long and yours is 6? Are you jamming me up? And I just moved in here. Like, I thought it was going to be like a knock on the door. Hey, what the hell? I thought we had an agreement here. And then my wife, naturally cooling me down and smartening me up, said, it's because of the water. Like, ours is being watered more. So it's growing more.
Right.
It's not intentional. Like, he's taking care of it. And that's 8-9 years later. We're all good. You know, we came to that agreement.
Awesome.
We each get out there and we, you know, we take care of business. But, yeah, man, fear thy neighbor. It is something you got to consider.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, it's wild weather. The Leafs are playing tonight, right? They're down at Scotiabank. And if you're going down there, I'm assuming you're going down early. And Austin Matthews will be mic'd up for TNT. I know a lot of people are buzzing about that. And I think he's done it before. Like, that's a sign of TNT saying, give me the superstar, give me the American. But I don't know how comfortable he'll be with his situation. Like, he's not Mr. Media. This isn't Jeremy Roenick, you know. I've heard him on it before. It'll be Biz, you know, Biz and Ed'll be in his ear. They'll have fun with it for sure. But I don't know. I'm curious how, like, Americans, like, viewers would look at Matthews in a situation like tonight.
One thing they're going to find out, he spits more than any human being on Earth.
Yes,
there's
he does.
A constant, like,
yeah.
He is always spitting on the bench. I don't know how he's going to, but I don't think he chirps guys. I don't know.
You got to go through a filter, though. Like, they're not going to allow it live, because guaranteed he's going to be mic'd up, and you know who the guy who steals the show is 58.
Right.
That guy doesn't shut up the whole time. So they will pick up noise from 58 because he sits beside him, and Bunting will be yammering with the ref, yammering with somebody on the other team, and his mic's going to pick that up. So they're going to have some form of like, hey, we got to take a pause on this, because as you guys know, some of the language gets pretty greasy out there.
Oh, yeah. And the league, they understand that. They're, we all know that that's the way it works. You cannot use audio. They can't go live to it. There's no clicking the live button. Let's see what's going on in that scrum. You know, it'll all be during warm-up, and then during a break, they'll find out what he was saying kind of earlier in the game. But, we'll see what comes out of it. But you're right, Bunting is the guy. I heard them talking about that on Leafs Lunch. I think Julia brought that up, and that's the guy. Yet he'd be swearing so much because that's kind of what he does as well. I don't know what kind of material you could get.
Yeah.
You know, like who in the NHL is someone you're dying to have mic'd up? I'm sure there are examples of it. I think Brad Marchand is probably a guy.
Well, the one guy that would be a beautician would be Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Because I think he would just be just brutally honest with guys saying, that's a garbage pass. What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. How good was that play? And he's one of those guys that his calmness and approach to the NHL, he's like, he has a dip in his mouth, I think, when he plays.
Yeah.
The guy dips while he plays.
Yeah.
And he's just out there wheeling around. And William Nylander, apparently William Nylander just puts his gear on 80 seconds before he's supposed to go out for warm-up and just goes out there. And he's one of the best players there. That's a fascinating, like, you see other guys, the anxiety and the stress it takes to put their gear on and get ready for an NHL game. I heard Pavel Bure was absolutely outrageous. Like, 45 seconds before practice started, this guy started firing his gear on, and he would wheel out there, no stretching, dart and coffee in the car on the way to the rink, and just be skating circles around everybody.
Yeah,
so there's fascinating, like, prep stories, how guys are, like, stressed and worrying, sweating, and other guys are like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, it just, they're so far extremes. There are other guys that are 4 hours there before the game and living it, breathing it, sweating it out. And other guys, like, you have to be there 2 hours before for the most part because there's meetings and stuff. But those guys press it because I've heard Timo Solani was the same thing. Like, literally no tape on his shin pads, nothing. Just lay his gear on and start getting dressed when guys are almost, like, walking out to the ice for warm-up. Like, it just, there's some guys are so relaxed and confident in their ability. Other guys are like, hey, they treat everything like a game seven. And it's quite interesting to see, you know, on a Wednesday night, you know, in January, some guys bring that intensity. Some guys just dial it up and have the ability to turn it on. You know, I like the mic'd up situation. I would love to hear, it's more for me, the fourth liners and the, you know, guys that are farther down in the lineup that spend more time on the bench, because they seem to be the chirpier one. Do you remember that exchange between, was it Drew Miller and Matt Martin, where he was, you know, talking about go back to the minors and go dye your hair, because Drew Miller had gray hair when he was 20 or whatever it was. Like, to me, those exchanges are the best when hot mics are out there.
Yeah,
I think they're ultimately looking for, like, one or two little nuggets. Like, we had Marner mic'd up in a warm-up for one of the TSN games, and while he was talking to us, he was like juggling a puck, and it was like, there's your little nugget. That was that alone was worth him doing it. So
right,
you're looking for one or two things out of a 60-minute hockey game.
Yes, it looks cool. It's a cool bite. Except you're not asking for 15 minutes of material. I mean, they're not revolving the whole show around that. But you're right, Noodles. Generally, the guys on the bench longer are the ones that are talking more. A guy who's playing all the time, he doesn't have the energy to talk. He doesn't want to talk when he gets to the bench. You know, he's got to listen to the coach, too. Like, he might be going back out. You know, if you're on the fourth line and you barely play, you know the coach isn't just spontaneously calling your name.
Yeah.
You know, on the fly. It's like,
it's a planned shift.
It's a planned shift. There's a whistle as far away from our net as possible. Their fourth line's on. Okay, now you can listen. Please go out. But, that's the different type of energy, the different type of preparation, it's impossible to really tell. I mean, every guy you just mentioned, oh, they're all European players. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but, you know, it may not be. It may just be the way that they're wired, the way that they showed up at the rink, the way that they were raised. You know, even like Canadian kids, like I was in the rink by me a couple of weeks ago. My daughter had a practice, and I thought we were at the wrong rink at the wrong time because the group that was on after her had already arrived.
Warm-ups,
yes.
In the hallways.
Yeah, it was 12, 13-year-old girls that were playing a game. And,
I know.
And honestly, I panicked. I'm like, I got the rink wrong or I got the time wrong because we were there 20 minutes before our ice and they were on after us. And I'm like, they're already all here. Like the whole team was congregating and they were outside and then they were stretching. Then they had music. And then, like, that's just the way that we've always done it, I think. Hockey Canada has urged coaches to advocate for that. Get early, act like a pro, dress like a pro. Remember playing in the GTHL as a kid? I'd have to wear a tie.
That's insane. It actually
is insane. You wear a shirt and tie to games.
It actually is insane. Like, you're 10 years old, you got to wear a shirt and tie because why? You act like the pros?
Because Doug Gilmore would do it, exactly. Because, you know, Wayne Gretzky would. That's it. I mean, I don't think there's any reason for that. I've never believed in it. I don't think it doesn't give Canadians an advantage over Europeans or Americans.
Right.
You know, what are you doing on the ice? What are you bringing on the ice? Where's the skill set? How are you developing that? What's your mentality, your coaching, et cetera? But I don't think it's changed because, again, anecdotally, I ran past it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, when it's house league and young kids, and that my son's five. You know, we roll in 15 minutes before. He doesn't need to be doing running A's in the parking lot and stretching and stuff. Like, he can roll in. Like, we dress him at home, and I throw skates on and throw him over the glass, and away he goes. Like, that's how it should be. Like, the pressure, I don't know where the line crosses. I'm sure at some point I will figure that out as if he continues in hockey and wants to, you know, to pursue that further. But you see some guys who are nine. I think Strutty works at a school in Edmonton. Like, there's these kids go to school in the morning and practice hockey in the afternoon. Like, there's these academies. And I don't know what age it starts, but it sounds like it's quite serious.
That's junior hockey. Like, that's what
Jason
we were doing
Strudwick off the glass school.
High and hard school.
High and hard off the glass.
Dump and change school.
What did he say a couple of weeks ago that there was a fight in? Did he say there was a fight in skills competition or what? I can't remember what he said. Where there was like, and we're like, what type of hockey school do you go to?
No kidding. Yeah, he was saying that in Edmonton they get in fights during the hockey camp. You'd have a hockey camp and there'd be fights going on. I mean, that was Strutty was saying. You're right, and we were talking about what was going on in either Toronto or even just around the world, you know, like schools in the States or in Europe. He's like, at Edmonton, if you were getting in fights during camps as a kid, you had to question your own, you know, pride and your own passion for the game.
Yeah.
But Steve Valiquette will join us. The Rangers are in town. We'll catch up with him just after 5. We got Chris Rose coming up. We got video out of Mahomes. He's practicing. He's doing the walkthrough. What does that mean for the upcoming weekend slate of games in the NFL? So we'll get to that and more. Still to come, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Don't sweat the technique.
All right, Chris Rose will join us here in a few moments. Saw some video of Patrick Mahomes earlier today, Noodles. I'm sure you saw that. And he took full part in practice. And I don't think it was – I mean, I was thinking about it today. I wonder if Belichick would even allow cameras in there and you know, what kind of access the media is supposed to get, what they do get. But he was out there. He was walking around. He didn't appear to be dealing with a limp, you know, based on my view. And what I find fascinating about this is this game opened, I believe, as a Chiefs favorite. I want to say they were favored by 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5, I think it was. Yep.
Yes, and then immediately money came in on Cincinnati, so the books adjusted. I want to say earlier today it got up to as high as plus 2.5 for the Chiefs. So money was flying in on the Bengals, so they were really compensating. And now after the videos come out and he's practicing – money's coming back in and the line's moving back towards Kansas City. That may be something that only interests me, but it this is the story of the game.
Sure.
Right?
It is.
Like, even if Mahomes is 100% healthy, Burrow's 3-0 lifetime against Mahomes. Like, he has, all he knows is, I beat Mahomes, I beat the Chiefs. So,
right.
Even if Mahomes was at 100%, I think the Bengals would feel very confident, and they should feel confident. And I think it's a very difficult game to predict. But if he's not at 100%, or we don't know what percent he's at, man, it takes a turn, man. This could go any which way.
But don't you think that they, you know, this was a lot of a show, putting him out there, having the cameras, like, because if he's, if they make him not available or no cameras available, now it's speculation. Like now you're trying to find out, like, is this guy limping around in that? To me, if he's okay, they put him on cameras today. Then he's not running around, not running routes, but he's still on camera. Everyone's watching. Does he have a limp? Is he, you know, is he going to be able to play? I think this was, you know, kind of a little bit of gamesmanship, if you ask me, as far as.
So
like,
does it end the speculation or add more to it, in your opinion?
Let's see how tomorrow's practice goes. The next day, leading up, like somebody's going to watch him run some routes and run some snaps and plays. And see how his strength is, how he looks comfortable or not comfortable. So today, I think the line moved because they're like, this guy's not in a cast. He's not limping around. But let's see if he actually starts running. That's the telltale.
Yes. And I don't expect them to allow him to really motor between now and game time anyway. You know,
right.
Like it's end of the season. Is he doing sprints? How can you know what the adrenaline? You can't replicate the adrenaline of a game.
No.
Right, like it's even if he's dealing with an injury, which he is, the how substantial it is, we won't know, and they're never going to tell us. But even if he's banged up, you know, in practice, it's one thing to say, "Hey, can you run 10 yards as fast as you can?" It's another thing in the game, fourth down, fourth quarter, place is going nuts, lunatics right. are chasing you. Then, can you pull a Forrest Gump and blow right through those knee braces?
Yeah.
Right, like is that because it's probably possible. Like that, I think, is something we're not going to truly know and really see until we get to game time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's a good step for today for him to be back, at least, you know, showing no ill effects walking around and at least to them on cameras, don't you think?
Yeah. No, it's exactly. I think it's going to be an ongoing story, but it is the story. Like as much as Philly versus the Niners are compelling – and if it was an injury to a wide receiver, to a running back, to a defensive end, it would be a big story. But this is the king, man. This is Mahomes at home, AFC championship game. And, oh, we were just talking about the video going around. Doesn't look like he's limping.
Of him,
he looks all right.
Of him getting off the stage?
Yes. And then on the field, he was skipping a little bit. He was moving and shaking a little bit. I don't know. I mean, we were just saying the numbers are fluctuating. Now I think people are like, well, I guess I could hammer Kansas City at home if I think Mahomes is actually better than what we anticipated he would be.
How much of him doing anything? Like, it seemed like when he walked off the stage after the presser, he made a point of not limping.
Right.
Yes.
Did he not? Like, it seemed like I've got to make this look like I'm completely fine. And even our buddy Trey Wingo was like, this video of one person walking off a stage is going to be dissected to the nth degree by every NFL analyst out there.
Yeah. And it has been. And I don't know, you know, if you're legitimately banged up, I don't know how you can disguise a limp. But I guess he could have had, not a cast under there, but could he have had a walking boot? Could he have had something on that stabilized his ankle?
That thing
to
would
allow
be taped
him.
Up. Those trainers could tape that up. There's probably medicine in there. And, I mean, how could it possibly a guy go from not walking to running out to tell Tracy Wolfson that he's good to go? Like,
yeah,
come on, let's figure it out here.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see what he's got. Because, again, Mahomes has beaten everyone except Joe Burrow. Like, Burrow is 3-0 lifetime, and he's going for his fourth straight win as a pro against Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a significant stat.
Sure.
Mahomes doesn't lose to anybody, man. It doesn't feel that way. Obviously, he lost in the Super Bowl to
and
Brady.
Hayes, it's the biggest factor. Like, we break down everything about athletes, Like, when you talk about Austin Matthews or Josh Allen or Ben Simmons or Kyrie, the one thing that's the king daddy topper, man, that shuts anybody up, especially when what we do, is if you win, nobody can say squat. Like, we talk about their points, their assists, plus minus, how they skate, what they do, regular season. If you win in the playoffs, man, you are the king daddy topper. Because that's what it's all about, is getting it done.
Absolutely.
And Joe Burrow is turning it. Huh? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Brady's the best example. And Burrow, he looks like he's wired like him, right? He did it in college. He's done it so far. Hasn't won a Super Bowl yet.
Yeah.
But no one would ever say Brady's got the greatest arm ever.
No kidding. And Brady had some matchups against a high-flying Rams team. I think Jerry Goff was the quarterback. And they just said, see you later. They dummy-dumb. And Brady comes out on top. Came out on top against Rodgers time and time. Like, Mahomes himself, it's like Tom Brady came out on top. And it's like, that's what it's all about.
Well, that's the clutch gene. That's the
exactly.
Like, we say it all the time. It's the clutch gene. Like, you can be a regular season hero, but when the chips are down in any sport, when the cream rises to the top, and those are the people that push through, Brady's the clutch gene. That's what he is.
Yeah.
The top players always do it.
It seems like Burrow's got it. Mahomes got it, too. Like, that's
not
up for debate. And listen, you're talking to one of the great practice athletes of all time. The lights go on. It's a different world, man.
And I give him a ton of love. There's some, let's be honest, man, there'd be some QBs, some elite ones that would be like, just can't, good luck to the guys and can't go.
I think it might have happened in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you very
much. The different situation. All right, you see him on the NFL Network. You hear him on his podcast. He's been around the game for a long time. He's been on the show many times. Here is Chris Rose. How you doing, Chris?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Are you a believer in the clutch gene?
Yeah, I guess so. I think my dog is too, actually.
Yes, he is.
So she's making her point. Yes, I would say that I believe in it. I think people are able to just slow down their heart rate and make the game seem as normal as possible when we as fans get excited and when they as players also get excited and are able to harness those emotions so that they're able to, you know, best perform. So they're all talented. That sort of stuff doesn't change. It's just how you're able to channel things. So that's how I'd go with it.
Chris, who do you think's going to be ruling the roost here in a couple years? We've had this discussion over the past couple days. Is it Mahomes or Burrow? They're kind of different types of characters. Burrow seems like he's got a lot of pizzazz, but he kind of keeps it under wraps a little bit. But who do you think is going to be like the king of the jungle here?
Well, it depends on what the organizations do around him, right? I mean, I think that I personally think like the Buffalo Bills have shortchanged Josh Allen a little bit. They haven't developed a running game. They haven't built an offensive line, things of that nature. So it can't be as simple as which quarterback is the guy. That's not fair. Like, if you're, my eyes tell me that Patrick Mahomes is one of the most complete quarterbacks I've ever seen. I mean, I don't feel like there's anything he can't do well, right? I mean, he throws accurately. He throws on the run. He can run the football. He's got a cannon attached to him. There aren't that many plays where he, you know, like I call them Farvian plays where like he'd make a throw because he thought he could make the throw. And you're like, God, that was so stupid. Like, you very rarely see that out of Patrick Mahomes. So he feels like he's got every attribute in the world. But at the same time, after they got blitzed in Super Bowl 55, they were like, he's great, but he can't be running backward every play. We got to fix that offensive line. So what'd they do? They fixed the offensive line. They made a trade for Orlando Brown. They drafted two linemen. They paid Joe Thuney. So it's not as simple as saying which quarterback is the one who's going to lead. That's not it. Because if the Bengals don't pay linebacker Logan Wilson, if they don't do that sort of stuff, then, you know, then Joe Burrow is going to be a great quarterback, but he's going to be bounced in the divisional round instead of having a chance to compete for the Super Bowl is what I would say.
Chris, the NFL MVP candidates were announced today. Do you see anybody winning it other than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Lock of the century?
Seems like it.
Yeah,
lock of the century.
Yeah, because let's go back to the preseason narrative. What was it? It was, oh, my God. You know, what are they going to do without Tyreek Hill? The Broncos just got Russell Wilson. The Raiders are coming off a playoff appearance. And they've got a new fun coach. And they just traded for Devontae Adams. And the Chargers, well, you know, they were so close last year, but maybe another year with Justin Herbert gets it done. So this is, you know, what were your expectations? And the Bengals are the ones who were the defending AFC champs, not the Chiefs. So I just think after a while, for some reason, it's like LeBron James hasn't been voted NBA MVP in, it feels like, a decade. Like, you're trying to tell me he's not the best player at some point over the last decade? It's just your expectations, because we all want somebody new. Like, right. Jalen Hurts, right? He has had a phenomenal year, and his improvement, coupled with the A.J. Brown trade, are the two biggest reasons why, in my opinion, they're the one seed. But you can't tell me that if you had a choice, who had the better year, Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes, that you would vote for Jalen Hurts. Just because your expectations were lower, all of a sudden he became the MVP? I don't buy that.
With Chris Rose, how much do you buy into this Mahomes video of him, you know, walking off the stage, him taking part in practice? Does that mean anything, or are you still in a position where you need to see what happens come Sunday?
Well, until the game is just about walking down a set of stairs instead of being able to throw on the run
right.
and stay away from Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson and DJ Reader and those guys, then I'll make an assessment. I would prefer to make an assessment when I see him play football instead of walk downstairs.
Understand.
But that's me. Maybe I'm the moron.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. But I mean, this is the story of the week, and we're not.
But it's this.
Go ahead.
It's the story of the week because people, once again, are not talking about what they should be talking about. Patrick Mahomes, with two healthy ankles, has not beaten the Cincinnati Bengals. And people could say, well, listen, in game one, they had a 14-point lead. In game two, they had an 18-point lead. And in game three, they had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's true. But until we only play 45-minute games, that doesn't matter. He's got to figure out a way to beat the Bengals. He's got to figure out a way. The Bengals are an overall more talented team. They have a quarterback and an organization that doesn't care if the game's in Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Kansas City, Atlanta. They do not care. They don't care. They're a better team, and I need people to explain to me why Kansas City will win instead of all the other stuff that seemingly is being talked about, which never seems to include the Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion.
Brian, why don't you explain that, Brian? Because you think Kansas City is going to win.
No,
the
I have
floor
not.
Is well, yours. The
I have not made
yours.
That declaration.
The floor
whatsoever.
Is yours, sir.
I have not declared
hey,
that at all.
Dude, if I said that, you would say, Jeff, you are on drugs. And then you would go into a big, long
I haven't,
speech.
Listen, I just said earlier
let
this
Chris
hour.
Hear it.
I just said earlier this hour, the Bengals, Burrow's 3-0 against the Chiefs. They've beat them three times. I mean, it wouldn't be if Mahomes had 100%, I wouldn't be surprised either way. But that swings both ways. Like, if the Chiefs win, Chris, it wouldn't be a surprise.
No, of course it would. It would not be a surprise, and that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we focus so much on either why Kansas City lost or Patrick Mahomes' ankle, which could be a big part of this game. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. We focus on everything except why the Bengals came back and won those games. What did their defense do in the second half that made them such a superior team to the Chiefs in each of those three games? And that I'm not blaming you guys. I mean, that's the easiest narrative in sports media. We always want to find out, why didn't the Dallas Cowboys win? I'll tell you exactly why the Dallas Cowboys didn't win Sunday. Because the San Francisco 49ers are a freaking better team. They're a better team. The fact that the Cowboys were within seven, I applaud them. Their defense played probably their best game of the year. But, like, we're always saying, well, why didn't this team do that? Why? Because the other one was better. The other one was better. And if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals season this year, Burrow had an emergency appendectomy right before the season, right? He didn't even know what he was dealing with. And goes in, he's not feeling well, and all of a sudden he's got an emergency appendectomy. See, my dog's pissed off.
I've noticed she's picking up on your energy. We got to cool things down. She
really
here a little
is.
Bit. I wonder if she's maybe this will do it. We're chatting with Chris Rose. Hopefully she's an Aaron Rodgers fan, because I want to ask you about Rodgers. And phrase it in a way that you've just supplied us with. Give us a reason why he won't be back in Green Bay, or multiple reasons if you have them.
I think it's the perfect time to trade him. I know that the money has got to work better than it is right now, so I'm not going to sit here and try and figure out exactly what the cap numbers can be, because we know it's a disaster, right? I mean, we know it's just horrible right now. He ends up getting traded right now. So what I would say is this. I would say that they were an average team at best this year, that Aaron Rodgers did not play well, that if you're ever going to make it, you're going to make a move off of him at some point. Either he's going to retire, or you are going to have to trade him, or really something is going to happen. He's not going to play till he's 57. This feels like the perfect time. The perfect time to do it is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that it seems like he's bracing for it too. He was saying that with McAfee, and you know, he wanted to make it clear that he would have no resentment if that's the case. And I wonder if he learned that from Brett Favre, because Favre was resentful. Like, he was bitter. He was bitter for a long time. And
yeah, you know, but Aaron's always been tough too. I mean, he's not easy. And I think that I'm happy to hear that he wouldn't have any resentment, nor should he. Like, they've given him wonderful opportunities, a tremendous amount of money. They've put a pretty damn good team on the field for a long time. A long time. Have they drafted skill guys in the first round? No, they haven't. They haven't. But they've also had pretty solid defenses. I think part of the problem for Green Bay, to be honest with you, is that nobody in that division has really pushed them. Nobody got up and pushed them to the point where they felt like they had to up their game. They felt like their game was good enough to win the NFC North, which most years it was. And then, hey, we'll take our shot in the playoffs, because really anything can happen. And they made, what, 4 straight NFC championship games, I believe, or something like that. And so they were like, hey, it's not broken yet. Well, now it's kind of broken. So I think it's a really good time to try and maybe move on.
Well, we'll find out likely in the next couple of months. He is Chris Rose of the NFL Network, the Chris Rose Rotation Podcast. Always great catching up with you, Chris. We appreciate you doing this. We'll do it again down the road.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this week, okay?
You too. Yeah, thanks. There's Chris Rose and his dog in the background.
And an airplane.
And Tom Cruise. And then Tom Cruise buzzing the tower.
Yeah, that that was like an F-18 right over his house. But
he was like, all right, like, I don't know where he lives, but like, just open the
he's in LA,
door.
I believe. Yeah, I think so, he lives in LA.
Sure, he's got a backyard. Just throw him out in the backyard until. Yeah. I mean, listen, it was fine. He was awesome, though.
He battles through. Yeah, he battles through. And, you know, Chris looks at it. He looks at things differently. Like, he's not wrong about the Bengals. They're 3-0. They're 3-0.
He loves some Bengals, doesn't he?
He does. I'm not as bullish on this that they're the team that should win, and the Chiefs have to find a way to beat them. Clearly, the Chiefs have to find a way, but that's a two-way street. I don't think the Bengals are going in there puffing their chest out saying, we're just going to do what we've done and roll here. I think the Chiefs deserve a lot more respect than that, but it should be a hell of a game. And as for Rodgers, I wouldn't be shocked if they moved on from him either. I would not be shocked if they've had enough, you know.
They've got to replace him, though.
That's the thing.
Good.
It's probably Jordan Love. That's your guy. You built him up. You drafted him.
Come on, man.
See what he's made of. I don't love that option, but.
Dude, that's the curious part about the successor. It's like they probably dumped a pile of money into Love already. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the total is.
First-round pick, they paid him for sure.
It's millions. It's multi-millions. And then it's like, do you stick with it and want to see? He's already been a part of the organization for, what, 5 years?
Three now, anyway.
Three years. And it's like, what if he stinks the joint out? Because he played in a game last year in Kansas City where his parents were basically sitting in a hot air balloon above the building. And he stunk the joint out.
Yeah.
That's right. Weren't they the last row?
The last row.
Yes. Literally the last row at Arrowhead.
And he stunk the joint out. He could not make a pass. The wide receivers were throwing their arms up all game saying, this guy cannot do this out here.
See, this is what is, it's concerning because you are going from, you know, Favre to Rodgers to question mark, right? And that's unnerving if you're an organization because you've had nothing but stability there for what, 30 years, 25 years?
Yeah, from Favre to Rodgers, it has been, you've had a top five quarterback in the league for 30 years.
Yeah. And if I'm a team that has a quality team right now, like the Jets, the Giants, I take a shot for a couple of years and say this is could be the missing piece to get us over the hump.
Yep.
Here's where I this conventional wisdom, like people are talking about, like Purdy. Well, maybe you could do it with a guy like Purdy. You know, that's an outlier. Mm-hmm. Because if you start to think that you can win with that formula, you take it to hockey, you need good goaltending. Like you need a rock star goaltender to help get you through.
Like absolutely, you like.
But
Purdy,
there's also the situation where if your team is so sound, let's compare the Avalanche to the San Francisco 49ers. The team is so sound. Last year they got it done without a rock star in net. But, so it's like San Francisco 49ers are so good, like man to man throughout their roster, that Purdy has the ability to go in there and do what he does.
Yes.
If there was weaknesses all over that roster, he's not pulling this off right
now.
No
chance. That's the truth. Can it happen?
Right.
Absolutely. It has happened. There have been documented cases in the NFL. The 2000 Ravens, Trent Dilfer was their quarterback. In 02, the Bucs, it was Johnson was their quarterback. Those were nowhere close to elite. They were middle of the pack, if not bottom third quarterback statistically. But they had the best defenses of all time. They had an unbelievable O-line. They had a great run game, a great coach. And it was like, what are you going to do? You know, this is enough to get us over the top. Guess what happened? They didn't win it the next year. They didn't win three in the next 5 years.
No, it's like, one and done, dude.
It's one and done where you can find lightning in a bottle. And the Niners might be that. They got the best defense in the league. They got unbelievable weapons. And Purdy may just not turn the ball over. And they could win the Super Bowl. That very well could happen. But if McCaffrey leaves and Bosa leaves and Warner leaves and Shanahan leaves, guess what? There's a chance Purdy isn't in the league in 3 years. You know, maybe he is. Maybe he does have the talent. Maybe he's got the it factor. We don't know. But
right,
it's you need everything to go your way if you don't have an elite goalie, quarterback. You need everything to go your way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be stacked.
Speaking of defenses, Hayes, that Parsons in Dallas, he's gonna be haunting people. He grabbed a dude with one arm who was a monster for Sam Fran.
Yes.
And he gave him the old Bruce Smith, like, locked arms and chucked him on the ground like he was a small child.
He's a superstar.
He's a scary human.
An absolute stud. Back into the Leafs Rangers tonight. The Raptors are on the West Coast. They got a 7-game roadie. They don't have to play a home game until after the trade deadline. We may not see one of the big three again in a Raptor uniform down at Scotiabank. So we'll get to that more still to come. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Just keep it safe, baby. Anything you say will always. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Bruins, February 1st. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf won the gold medal at the World Juniors. All right, so it's a really successful former Leaf. I still don't know who it is, but won a gold medal at the World Juniors. There you have it. I think won a Memorial Cup. I think that might have been a clue. And anyway, that's a big game. That's a week tonight. And you got a big one tonight, too, an Original Six team in town. The Rangers are up here. The Rangers are a playoff team. They've been really good for a few years.
Yeah.
You know, they got some star power on this team. Adam Fox is a star. I don't know if he gets enough attention as like a superstar, though. He is a stud.
So he is a superstar.
So yeah.
And you know, the other guy, too, that has to be, you have to be aware of is when Trouba has a growl on like that, he's tough to play against. Man, that's a guy who, you know, wants to be a pain in the ass. He's physical.
He's the only guy in the league that hits anymore, so he, I guess he's a pain in the ass.
Well, you're right, but that's it is a gentleman's league out there some nights. Like, nothing to see here, folks.
Everybody looks at Trouba like he's this monster. It's like he's a defenseman, and he finishes his checks. But everyone's like, oh, my God. I can't believe you're doing that. It's just like everything else, and I'm so offended by that.
It is a sign of the times where, again, saying 30 years ago, it doesn't matter because it's not 30 years ago, but there wasn't a team in the league that didn't have someone that did that. Most teams had two or three guys that would take your head off if they could.
5 years ago, there was a lot of physical players in the league.
Right.
Well, you're starting. Yeah, I mean, you're starting to see teams move away from, like, I watched that Vancouver game last night. Like, Luke Shen looks like a Sasquatch.
He's
out
a
there.
Monster. Yeah, he's like, he'll fight, he'll hit, and people are like, "What are you doing? It's Tuesday."
Everyone else is all the, like, very lean and long and skinny, and he's so big.
Yeah.
Like, his head is, he's got this giant head and he's got the giant body. Like, he looks so big. He looks mismatched out there compared to the
he is a
the
monster.
Bodies. He's so
big. He is
big.
A big dude. Yeah, he is. Steve Valiquette on the Rangers in town. Jerry's percentage is coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
So, it's kind of hard to say, but I have a problem with my package.
Wow, have you heard of Felix? Felix can connect you to a doctor to medically assess erectile dysfunction with no face-to-face conversation. And, if applicable, they will deliver treatment straight to your door.
Wait, so a package for my package?
Yes, a package for your package. From Felix. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.